Game down to one pitch. Hirsig brings it in, and there's the last pitch on a swing and a miss. And the Royals have shut out Baltimore 1-0. The Royals scored that run, as I just mentioned, in the sixth inning. They made it stand up. And there's something about the Royals in Baltimore in postseason. The Royals have their number. And the big number today is 1. 1-0. Royals.
Royals win game one yesterday. That's the sweet, sexy sounds of one Denny Matthews. Don't forget, Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, will join us in about an hour here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, and Mac Morey with you today.
Right.
Never gets tired hearing that man's voice.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And somebody tweeted yesterday, and they said, and I don't know who this person is, but I was dying when I saw this tweet yesterday. It made me laugh so hard. The Royals have only one guy doing their radio broadcast. He sounds about 100 years old, and it rules, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that is a fantastic way to describe Denny, because about once every 10 years now, when the Royals make it into the playoffs, people start to realize who Denny Matthews is, because mm-hmm. there's just not a lot of, you know, royal stuff that goes on when you lose 100 games a year and people don't really pay attention. And then one of the comments was, holy crap, that guy does sound old, but this is awesome.
Like, yeah,
people were running and saying, yeah, how much they love Denny and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Holy bleep. You're not kidding. This guy rocks.
Yeah. Top five broadcaster of all time for baseball.
I mean, he's just absolutely wonderful. And so that's why I love when postseason baseball rolls around here in Kansas City, and like the rest of the world's like, have you listened to this guy in Kansas City do the games? It's outstanding. He does it by himself and he's 100. And so I sent that tweet to Steven, and he had a thanks coach moment. He goes, they had four people on their broadcast yesterday, but nobody talks to each other on these broadcasts.
Well, it's funny you say that, Bob, because everyone knows that it's my broadcast and I am the only one who matters. Slider low and outside to Bobby Wood Jr. The Royals take on the Orioles today at 3:38. You can hear it on 96.5 The Fan, Denny Matthews. Love that, man.
Oh, it's great. It's
Loved
fantastic.
Him. He's 81, by the way. He's not 100.
Yeah, 81, though. I mean, it's crazy, you know, because Denny, when Denny talks and I have conversations with him over the years, I listen more because he's seen everything, right? Mm. He's literally seen just about every Royals game that has ever taken place. He's been here since day one, right?
Yeah.
And so whether he's on the road or not, I'm sure he's watching the games and paying attention to what's going on. He's still one of the best hockey players. He's still one of the best hockey players. And there was some fall puck on yesterday.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, so he may have been captivated a little bit with the Ranger Devil preseason game. I don't know. But when he talks, you listen. And Denny says stuff over the years, and you kind of, you know, kind of keep a record of that. And one of the most poignant things that he ever said to me about baseball is, like, we were talking about expansion, you know, and moving to 32 teams. And this was just like a conversation in the press box one day back in, you know, 20 some years ago. And he looked at me then and he goes, they're talking about expansion. He goes, we don't have enough pitchers right now to fill out all the teams in baseball that are good enough to be major league pitchers. Mm. And you start to think about it, and you're right. I mean, we got essentially five starters on 30 teams, right? Five times three is 150. Mm. So you got 150 starters right now in baseball.
Five times three is 150?
Five times 30.
Yeah. Oh, 30. I think you said three.
Yeah, I said three. No, I did say three, but five times 30.
I was like, am I high?
No. Five times 30, 150.
Sophomore math class,
right?
Again, yeah.
Not very hard to figure out the math.
No doubt.
And he's right about that. Like, how many of these pitchers right now in baseball wouldn't be on a roster if you had 26 or 28 or 24 teams and you're looking to expand to 32? That's why so I've always kind of kept that in the back of my mind. He's right. Each team, how many good pitchers does the Yankees have? They don't have five good starters on their squad right now. We don't have five good starters on our team. Nobody does. So you're going to expand. You're going to water down the product even more than it's already watered down. And it also plays into the NFL. They're talking about expansion, okay? You're at 32. If they want to expand and grow and continue to get bigger, you don't have enough good quarterbacks in the NFL right now to support 32 teams, let alone if you expand to 36 or 40 or something of that nature. And so while expansion sounds good on the surface, if you're rolling out a piece of crap product out there, nobody's going to watch that kind of stuff. And there are too many teams out there that just don't have enough good pitchers on their roster, basically everybody. And I don't know how many good quarterbacks are in the NFL. Probably less than 10.
Might be 12. Jared Goff, Sam Darnold kind of get in that list of if you expand past
maybe
eight or nine.
You know, and I don't know. I haven't really thought who's on my top 10 list of quarterbacks in the league, but, you know.
Might have a Richard of the Week candidate here on the text line from the 913.
Okay.
That old guy is what's wrong with baseball. I can't watch most games because Bally's, and his voice will put you to sleep.
You can Bally's is very accessible. Subscribe to the app and stop being a freeloader.
And if you'd like some more sleep, you can go to Sleep Number, where you can adjust your side and she can adjust hers and have a great night of sleep. Slider loan away to Melendez. Melendez is yet to homer in the playoffs.
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty good. Sorry, I've been doing that my whole life. Like, I love Denny Matthews, man. I used to. I mean, we can take this segment off the rails. I don't give a rip because it's baseball, it's Royals, it's Denny. When you think of the Royals, and I thought this was a great text, how much longer until there's a microphone up on the Hall of Fame stand?
Yeah,
you
know, right, yeah.
That absolutely might be the next guy that gets inducted.
I mean,
inducted.
He's in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
So he is a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And obviously should be. He's been doing it for 61 years, 62 yeah. years, however long the Royals have been in existence. But for somebody to say that the Bally's thing is no longer an excuse. It is yeah. like having Amazon. It is like having ESPN Plus or Apple TV.
Now
you don't need it. The games are on ESPN, and then next round beginning on Saturday in New York, they're going to be on TBS or TNT. If you want to win Seinfeld tickets to go see him and Jim Gaffigan at T-Mobile Center on January 18th, you can be caller 7 when you hear the Seinfeld drop.
This one right here.
And be caller number 7 to 913-586-7965, or you can buy them. They're on sale now at AXS.com, but be listening for that Seinfeld sounder when you hear be caller 7, and you will be going to see Jim Seinfeld and
yeah,
Jerry
you
Gaffigan.
Can see it too.
You can see Jim Seinfeld and Jimmy Gaffigan as well. Jimmy Gaffigan, yeah. My guy from Manning Roofing. Call Jimmy Gaffigan today.
There you go.
I can feel Denny Matthews' voice in my plums.
And Jimmy Gaffney, I should say. Not Jimmy Gaffigan, but you know where I'm going with this.
No, that's great. But no, Royals in action again today. Vern's On Deck show that we just got breaking news of. Full hour.
Full hour, yeah.
I guess I didn't read the schedule. That's just me, though. I don't know. Sometimes that happens. I will say this, though, about yesterday, that I thought yesterday was, and I know we've got a little bit of time. So we can give 30 seconds here each. That let me know two things. One, I think everybody now is bought in, as our conversation yesterday is maybe everybody's like, well, I got to work, you know, whatever. And then the other thing is I'm ready to go for the next 4 or 5 years with this ball club.
I'm ready to go for the next decade. And I was thinking about this as I was stuck behind a train yesterday. Like what we saw yesterday, I think the big picture thing, micro, macro type stuff, like I like to talk about. The micro is, hey, we won a playoff game. Fantastic. The macro is, holy crap, for the next 10 years, we've got the opportunity to have a Cy Young candidate at the top of our rotation and an MVP candidate in our lineup. And the last time the Royals had that, you got to go back to George Brett and Brett Saberhagen, right?
Saves and George.
And they weren't together long enough. I think this duo, you know, pending, you know, something strange happening, I think this duo has got the opportunity to really be together for the next decade. And I think yesterday was that glimpse of what's going to happen and what the future of this Royals organization is. It's going to be led by Bobby Witt and it's going to be led by Cole Ragans. And that's going to be the duo that we're talking about for the next decade here in Kansas City. And if that's the next duo that we got to talk about, man,
sign me up
for that every day of the week, right?
You got two new duos this year. You got Fesco and Dusty and you got Ragans and Bobby.
And I think we're better, quite honestly.
Okay. You want Denny to take us to break?
Sure, why not? We'll discuss our watch party yesterday at Jefferson's. Also find us there. And Sean McDonoghue will join us on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Denny Matthews.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
In the league, he steals the base, hitting home runs all over the place. It's Bobby Witt Jr. Every Kansas City fan knows his name, and you know the crowd goes wild when he's sliding to home base. Let's go Royals! It's Bobby Baseball. Get a free Bobby bobblehead on opening day. Bobby Baseball. Bobby's got a bobblehead.
Gotta love it. Gotta love that jingle, especially after a Royals win and Bobby Witt Jr. doing some special things again, because people just don't
people just don't know, I guess. Because you just pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. when there's a man on third and two outs in a crucial part of the game, and then you pay for it. I mean, we watch other guys, you know, pitch around him. Now, that guy for the Marlins, Skip Schumacher, he was going to pitch to Shohei Ohtani, but, you know, that's because he wanted to see history. I guess Baltimore wants to have him extra time off in the offseason. Go ahead and pitch to him, I guess. Somebody says they love the song, but home base irks me.
It irks.
I get that.
Yeah.
And he's going to steal home base.
Right. I didn't notice that until literally listening to it this time.
It kind of fits into the song. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, there's other songs out there. Like, I've had people, not people, there's been one person, and I've told you this, I think, over the years, that complain about Bruce Springsteen's, where they were going to throw that speedball by him. And I had somebody who's a baseball dork tell me, there's no such thing as a speedball. I'm like, it's a song, man. Like, what do you care? Maybe he was talking about a cocktail. I don't know.
Yeah. Home plate cocktail?
Right.
That's like a bourbon on ice for me because I'm at home and I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sean McDonald will join us here shortly about 8:25. Before we do that, we want to give credit to where credit is due. The wonderful people at Jefferson's for allowing us to come spend their watch party there. Yesterday, we'll be there again today. Cody and Gold doing their show from there. I just saw Alex walk in.
Oh, Alex is here?
I saw him randomly. He might be gone already. He's like Batman.
Yeah.
Wearing a Bobby Witt Jr. custom jersey. Like Bobby Witt Jr. got it out.
Yeah, do you have it tailored for himself and everything? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, got a kid's large.
Yeah.
But no, it's fun out there. Shout out Nick Price. Shout out all the staff members at Jefferson's. It was a good time.
Great food.
Saw a bunch of people out there that enjoy listening to the show. Got a bunch of good feedback. Guy talked to both you and I. Says that he loves this show, this combo, loves going out, watching live watch parties. Look,
yep.
I love watching baseball games. I feel like when it comes to football games, I'm okay watching that solo. You watch a baseball game with a crowd.
It's different.
Man, it's fun. You had people yelling fight or strike. I couldn't figure it out.
Strike. It was every pitch. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The whole game.
You had people coming up to you being like, why is Reagan's getting taken out of the game? I love Bob Fesco. Then we find out it's a calf strain. Everybody's nerves are there. Every pitch that is an out is applauded. Yeah, right. Let's go Royals chance.
Every strike's applauded too.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's fun to have a watch party and it's fun to meet the people that give us a reason to do this job. So we appreciate you just as much as you might appreciate us or not appreciate us. If you you know have some takes that you don't like, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll have conversations about it. We're not shy. But no, the watch party was great. You know, it's one of those things where in a time that we're currently in with a major election, you know, less than a month away, with football kind of starting the season off, kind of getting to the grunt of the football season, you get to put like politics aside, anger aside, and everybody is one unit, is in blue cheering for the Royals in October and not giving a rip about anything except the next pitch. And it's a very, very, very great thing to see because I feel like nothing brings fans and people together than sports moments like
that. Yeah, that's exactly what I told you yesterday when I left that watch party. I'm like, this is what sports does. It brings everybody together, galvanizes people. Not at one point yesterday was anybody talking about politics, religion, life, anything like that. It was all about baseball. Like, you didn't know anybody in that room. You didn't know what side they were on. You didn't care what side they were on. We were all Royals fans yesterday. And that's what I love most about when this city started to become a true sports town 10 years ago with the Royals getting to the postseason. Mm-hmm. Everybody put their nonsense aside. There was no Kansas versus Missouri crap going on. There was nothing that got in the way. Everybody was a Kansas City and everybody was enjoying this run by this baseball team. And everybody was enjoying what this team was doing. Nothing brings a community together and people together from all walks of life better than sports. And nothing does it more than a winning sports team. That's why I think it's so important for cities to have the opportunity to have a winning team that everybody can get behind, because it does. It galvanizes everybody. Everybody's happier. I guarantee you, except for a few people on the text line today, like, everybody's happy waking up in Kansas City today going, we're one out away from moving on to the next round of the postseason, a year after losing 106 games in the middle of what's going on with the Chiefs. And oh my God, man, we got a baseball team that's getting ready to go to the ALDS with 27 outs to go. And I think people are feeling great today, and nothing does that more than sports. And a guy who's been around that his entire life, Sean McDonough of ESPN, on the call of the Royals and Orioles. And Sean, I guess you could attest to that as well too. Nothing's better than having a winning team in town. It brings everybody together, and you saw it yesterday in Baltimore, 41,000 fans there.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, living in Boston and growing up there and living there my whole life, you know, we've seen a lot of that in recent years. You know, probably never more so, you know, not to take this to a really serious place, but, you know, when we had the Boston Marathon bombing several years ago, you know, the Red Sox wound up shocking the world and winning the World Series later that year and really galvanized the whole city. You know, Boston Strong became, you know, the theme, the motto for the recovery from the marathon bombing. So sports can play a really important role in bringing a community together.
Yeah, no question about it. Sean McDonough, what did you see yesterday from the Royals where you went, wow? Because I'm sure, you know, probably like a lot of people, didn't watch much Royals baseball this year. Now they're in the playoffs, you're calling the games. What jumped out for you where you're like, oh my God, this is awesome?
Well, I think it's more of the same, you know, from why they were successful in the regular season. You know, they built their regular season around outstanding starting pitching, you know, timely hitting, runners with scoring position, getting them around, and manufacturing runs, and playing really good defense. And, you know, they got a terrific start yesterday from Cole Reagan. You know, they got the timely hit. They only had two runners, I think, reach second base. And both times it was Michael Garcia, but it was, you know, a stolen base that got him into scoring position. And then, you know, Bobby Witt, who's the driving force behind the whole thing, you know, got the key hit to drive in the only run of the game. So I thought yesterday was really kind of a microcosm of their whole season and their formula for winning baseball.
When you look at this Royals team, it seems like, and maybe I'm just, you know, I got Royals bias glasses on, Sean, but it seems like they're not just built for this year. They're possibly built for more than just this turnaround of only winning 56 games to winning 80 plus and being a force in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I think they have a nice nucleus. You know, I do think they really are very dependent on the 2, 3, and 4 hitters in their lineup. You know, Pasquantino had a career year. We know what Bobby Witt is. He's a superstar already, and he's going to be one of the best players in baseball, if not the best, for a long time. You know, he does everything at the highest level, and from everything we're told, he's, you know, a high character person as well. So I think you're going to be very fortunate to be watching him for a long time. But you know, I do think going forward, you know, they're going to need to have a little more depth in that lineup. You know, I think we saw in September in particular when Pasquantino was out of the lineup that they really struggled to hit. So, you know, I think going forward, if they're going to try to make sure they are a playoff team for the next few years, you know, adding some more to that lineup is probably what they're going to have to do.
Sean, I've been kind of saying for the better part of this season, it's not important for the Royals to get into the playoffs. It's important for Bobby Witt to get into the playoffs and be on that national stage. What could a great performance in the postseason do for him from a national perspective?
Yeah, I think it'll elevate his profile. I mean, I think the baseball fans who follow it regularly are certainly well aware who he is. I mean, I think in almost any other year, he would have been the MVP in the American League. You know, yesterday, Jess Mendoza, I believe, called him the best all-around player in baseball, with the exception of Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani is doing things that have never been done before, but so is Bobby Witt Jr. So, you know, I think most, you know, hardcore baseball fans are very well aware of who he is and where he stands within the game. But I think if they can, you know, move on another round or two or go win the whole thing even, then a lot more people are going to know how great he is.
Welcome to 2024, the sports world of gambling now. I know it's interesting for some, but, you know, you look at that game yesterday and you know the stat as well as anybody, I'm sure, as well, Sean, that 8-0 is the record for teams that win game one in this new advanced wildcard system where it's three games. It doesn't normally go to three games either, but the Royals go in today and they're still underdogs. They're plus 130 on the money line. Baltimore is minus 155. Zach Eflin, Seth Lugo, how do you kind of see this game going, similar to yesterday, or is this one of those games where we maybe see a little bit more offense?
Well, I would think we would see more offense just because 1-0 games are very rare. You know, I believe it was the first playoff game the Royals had ever played in that ended 1-0. So I would think we'll see more than one run and more than 10 hits combined. You know, it should be another well-pitched game. You know, Seth Lugo had an excellent year. You know, big part of that success of the starting pitching rotation that we talked about. You know, the Royals get as deep into games as anybody. Reagan did it again yesterday and would have gone deeper had he not had the calf cramp. So I think it's an excellent pitching matchup. You know, I would think that part of it's pretty even. You know, when you look at the stats, Lugo had a little bit better year, but, you know, he wasn't quite as good in the second half of the season as he was in the first. So I would expect it to be another well-pitched game, but you'd certainly expect more than one run.
Sean, why would you think the Royals were such an underdog in this series? Like, everywhere you look, the odds were against the Royals. Everybody loved Baltimore. And I've been asking everybody that question because I just didn't see why they were such an underdog going into this series.
Well, probably because of the way they finished the season. You know, as you guys know, they had 2 7-game losing streaks from the end of August through the end of the regular season. I think a lot of that was the absence of Pasquantino, but I think there was the perception, you know, that maybe this team, definitely this team, wasn't playing its best baseball at the end of the year, and that, you know, both they and the Detroit Tigers benefited from Minnesota's epic collapse, because, you know, Minnesota was in playoff position for so much of the year and then just completely fell apart at the end. So, and I think that the reverse is true of the Orioles. I think people looking at the Orioles from a distance would say, well, yeah, they scuffled a little bit in the second half. We're basically a 500 team. But, you know, the Orioles had a lot of injuries that were a big part of that, and they got a lot of guys back late in the year, which should help get them back, at least theoretically, to what they were the first half of the year, when basically, from a record standpoint, they were the second-best team in all of baseball behind the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they played a while without Mountcastle, without Westberg, without a couple of other guys who returned late in the year. So they're pretty close to all hands on deck. So I think that would be the explanation. Home field advantage, if that means anything. And the fact the Orioles had a better record in the regular season would probably be all the factors for that.
When you look at this team moving forward, if they were to play the Yankees, is it going to be like something that we're like, maybe if they handle Baltimore in this situation, let's just say they go out there and win today, it's 2-0, it's a wrap, they go into New York, will they bring up the pitching as much as they might not have before when it comes to matchups, including this Yankees lineup that is just deadly from top to bottom?
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting series. I would pay attention to today first. I know,
for sure,
the numbers say,
for sure,
in this best of three, as you said, you know, the team that wins the first game has won almost every time. But, you know, there's still some work to be done here. I think the Yankees are an excellent team. I do kind of like the starting rotation of the Royals better. Mm-hmm. And, well, if it gets to that point against the Yankees, you know, I think the Yankees definitely have more depth in their lineup, more guys who scare you from top to bottom. But, you know, that would be a fun series. One of the things about the Royals, I didn't know this till I looked at our research notes, but this is only the fourth time in the last 40 years they've been in the postseason, but in the previous three times they made it to the World Series every
time.
That's
right. Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, they're the Michael Jordan of baseball, basically.
Although not that anything that happened in 1985 really has anything to do with today, which is why I sometimes hesitate in passing along those notes. I did have some rare restraint yesterday because of people who believe in the broadcaster jinx.
Oh.
You know, we had a note from our research people that the Royals had never had a shutout pitched by them in a road game in the postseason. This was their 36th road playoff game in their history. And I was going to mention that during the game. I said, nope, because, you know, when one of the Orioles rips one out of the park and there goes the shutout, maybe even the win, you know, here comes the McDonough jinxed it.
So right.
I don't believe in that nonsense at all, but yesterday I decided I wasn't going to say
You're not superstitious. You're just a little stitious.
You're not jinxing the whole thing. The outcome would have been different yesterday if I had said that.
See how you can make a difference, Sean McDonough, in the booth, and you didn't even know.
Believe
it.
Me, if the announcer jinx was a thing, all these gambling-related questions that you're asking me, I would be acting upon those on the ESPN Bet app.
Yeah,
but I don't because we have no control over it.
How dare you? Michael Garcia was kind of an unsung hero yesterday. Who's Sean's unsung hero today in this Royals Baltimore game?
Well, it could be him again, right? Because, you know, their formula, as we said, especially when you expect it to be a well-pitched game on both sides and don't expect there to be base runners, you know, if he can get on, he can steal a base. You know, and yesterday that was particularly the plan because Corbin Burnes was one of the worst, and was the worst in baseball in holding on runners. So as Matt Quatrero said, you know, you can't steal first base. You have to get on first. And they didn't have many base runners, but he got on twice with a walk, which really turned out to be one of the biggest plays of the game in the sixth inning, and then a single in the ninth inning, and stole second and wound up being stranded. But know, I think it could be him again. That one of the things that the Royals have is three guys who stole 30 bases. And, you know, they can take advantage of that to get into scoring position. So, you know, I think he'd be one. I like Tommy Pham in the playoffs. You know, he's a guy with a really good postseason track record, has a knack for coming up with a clutch hit. So if I had to pick somebody else, I'd pick him.
All right, I want to leave you with this. How bad will Brandon Hyde mess up today and cost the Orioles a game like he did yesterday pitching to Bobby Witt?
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, and Jess Mendoza said it. It didn't seem to make much sense. You know, one of the negatives of the stolen base would be, okay, now first base is open, and you can pitch around Witt. And particularly with Pasquantino, you're not having played in more than a month, playing, you know, basically still recovering from a fractured thumb. So, you know, I know it was right against right instead of right against left if Pasquantino gets up there. But he definitely, in my opinion, made a mistake, and it wound up costing him because it was the only run of the game.
No doubt. Well, enjoy the game today, Sean. And if you want to jinx somebody, jinx the Orioles for us.
Yep.
Okay. I'll see what I can do on that. But good to talk to you guys. Enjoy the game. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Sean McDonough, he's calling the game on ESPN today. Mm-hmm. Of course, also here on 96.5 The Fan, but behind the mic yesterday. And I guess everybody had the same question except for Brandon Hyde. Why are you, do you know this is Bobby Witt? He's a pretty good player. Why are you pitching to him?
I love to get like an outside source on that. Like, obviously, we talked to Vern about it. Sean about it,
right.
And you get the same reaction from two different sides that are basically telling you the same answer, which is, I don't know.
Yeah. like, what?
Yeah, and like, you know, you might be like, well, Vern, he's a Royals guy. The Royals pay him. They don't, but people think that.
Right.
And it's
they
like,
think they pay me too.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes.
They give you that nice looking hoodie you got
on? 10-year-old hoodie that's two sizes too big for me now.
It is a little large.
Look how big this thing
is. I thought you might be cuddled up for a nap after this.
Maybe. You want to get in here? Yeah, you can get underneath it.
That's like a cheese blanket.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We'll talk cheese blankets with the manager coming up in about 20 minutes,
right? Yeah,
because
he kind of likes that term from what we know.
Yeah, I think he does. We're going to throw a cheese blanket on the Orioles so they end their season.
I know. I need to calm down on that.
No, you don't because you don't. And the reason you don't is because the Royals are a better team, and they're better from a starting pitching standpoint,
correct.
And they're better in that manager seat as we saw yesterday. The Baltimore Orioles may win that game if Q's in the dugout for the Orioles and the Brandon Hyde guy is in Kansas City, because I don't think anybody outside of Brandon Hyde decides to pitch to Bobby Witt with two outs and a runner on second or third or whatever, third base yesterday, and a guy who hasn't played in over a month with a hurt finger standing in the on-deck circle who really didn't do much yesterday at all except give the presence of himself yesterday. It's baffling that happened yesterday, and it's one of those questions that I think if you're in Baltimore this morning, that's all you're talking about. Why would you pitch to Bobby Witt Jr.? So I think if the managers were switched yesterday, I think Hugh manages the Orioles to a win, and the Royals end up losing if they have Brandon Hyde in their dugout.
I mean, I just feel good about today. I
do, too. I feel great about today.
Corbin Burns is their ace. You beat their ace.
Yep.
Eflin's good. Lugo's better. Bobby Witt Jr., Adley Rutschman.
Oh, my God, the conversations that are taking place in Baltimore is that did we screw up and not draft Bobby Witt Jr.? I heard somebody yesterday, old Biscuit Chin I was listening to yesterday.
Biscuit Chin.
Lock and Fora. Oh. And he had said
Biscuit
yesterday
chin.
That the reason why, or he not the reason why, but he said Bobby Witt Jr. is the second best player in baseball, and Adley Rutschman is the second best catcher on the Orioles.
Ooh.
So they're really down on him. McCann was good yesterday. I mean, that's the guy you kind of want behind the plate. He's a better thrower outer of runners than Adley Rutschman is. But I mean, if you're Baltimore right now, that's starting to seep in. You lost to the Chiefs in the postseason in Ravens country. Mm-hmm. Now you're losing to the Royals in postseason in Oriole country. Kansas City dominates Baltimore. We're going to do it today. We'll see you in New York on Saturday.
Baltimore, last time they faced Seth Lugo, though, Lugo would give up four runs, nine hits in five and a third, striking out one, giving up two home runs. So not a great start. The last time, guess what? That was April 21st.
Right.
That was a long, long time ago. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were still on vacation.
Yeah, like April doesn't matter in my opinion. And I love history, and I'm a history buff, as they like to say. But I also think you can't look at history and say it's going to be a predictor of what's to come. It's a good description of what has happened, and if you don't follow some things, you may repeat yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's no guarantee and no definition of what's going to happen.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a goddamn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Coming in from the 816, quit calling the thumb a finger. It's a thumb.
Okay.
Thanks for taking the time to text the show.
And will Dan Kilgore play today? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from the city of Kansas City. What did you do for the game yesterday, and what are you doing for the game today? I don't care if you want to rant about the game time. I don't care if you want to rant about you don't get ESPN. I want to hear from you, Kansas City, 913-586-7965. I want to hear from you about this Royals team on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for your calls in Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're back at it on what we call Wednesday here in Kansas City on Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. We want to hear from you guys, so feel free to weigh in, 913-586-7965. You can do that on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, or you can do it on the phone lines as well. Get your reactions from yesterday and how you're feeling about the Royals, because I'm sure there's a lot of people waking up this morning, Dustman, thinking about the Royals differently than they were some 24 hours ago. I think people were kind of looking at the team going, I don't know. And then you win a game like you do yesterday where Cole Reagans dominates. You beat the ace of the Baltimore staff and one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in Corbin Burnes yesterday. And now you're looking to take this series in two games and not even worry about playing a third game down in Baltimore. So that's what we've got to do. That's what we're looking at. That's how I'm feeling today. I love today's matchup for the Royals. I love the fact that Seth Lugo's on the mound, and I feel good about a two-game sweep in Baltimore, and we'll see you in New York on Saturday night.
Yeah, my buddy Matt said,
live from New York, it's Saturday night.
My buddy Matt said, definitely played a little hooky from work to watch the game yesterday, and I'm going to do it again today.
Yeah, you might as well. I like this guy from the 913. I turned my camera off on a meeting that should have been an email, which they all should be. Let's call it what it is. Cracked a cold Diet Miller and watched the boys play some ball in the home theater. Yeah, that's what you do. A lot of folks working at home right now, right? And you got the opportunity to kind of sit back and turn your camera off. I like it, man. So just find a way to consume the boys in blue. And as somebody on the text line also pointed out, he goes, there's no excuse anymore for not being able to watch the game. Get YouTube TV for a month and all the games will be on there. And they're right about that. Subscribe to YouTube TV. You'll get your ESPNs, your TBSs, and you'll be rocking and rolling and ready to go.
Yep. Game is on ESPN. So if you have YouTube TV, you get ESPN, right?
I think.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I hope you do.
Wine more, Biscuit Chin.
I had no idea where that came from.
Oh, that was from back in the day, 2014. That's Kling's young boy at the age of 4?
Really?
Yeah. Four or five, awesome. Maybe no, because that was not 2014. It's so he's graduating high school this year, so 8.
Wow.
Let's see your talent.
You know what I mean?
What's that from?
Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Guy comes out and he's basically like a piece of garbage to his mother. And I'll just send you the link. It's astonishing.
What's your talent?
You know what I mean?
From the 816, it was on ESPN2 yesterday. Well, that was yesterday. Today's today.
Yeah, we're talking about today, man. Quote unquote, worked from home. Wow, sick pool. Took me right back. Haha, go Royals. There you go. The wife and I are on our third trial of YouTube TV because I don't want to pay for 75. What? And yes, you get ESPN and Fox Sports 1. All right, there we go.
There you go.
You're not allowed to promote streaming, right?
Probably
can't
not.
Do that. Yeah.
But you're right, 660.
YouTube TV definitely gets ESPN. And then the text below that, you're 100% honest. 100% right.
Yeah. 100% right.
For sure. UFC fights. How you doing?
yep.
No, but I mean, you know, we brought up a poll question today on our Twitter feed on the God. Fan 96.5. What?
Whoa.
Oh, Mike, I feel bad for you, man.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's
I'm
not
here
good.
For you if you want to DM me and we can talk, bro.
Come watch the game with us
come
today.
Come watch with us today, man.
It'll be fun.
Like, it's okay.
I promise it'll be fun.
Yeah, come join us today, man. I feel bad. Like, I'm being serious from the guy who doesn't have any friends. Like, come watch with us, man.
Yeah. I'll be there for you. Put our poll question up earlier.
I won't want to borrow money from you.
Yeah. Weekly poll on Wednesday that we do here on Fesco and Dusty. And the one we did today, which I think The problem with this one is that you see two names that automatically take you there.
Right.
And then the other thing is I don't think you read between the lines, which maybe that's where we're doing polls wrong. But who gets more playoff wins when their careers are over as a duo? Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagans, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Let me break this down a little bit better for you. Okay. Who wins more playoff games together, Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagans, or Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce currently together are 15-3 in the playoffs. Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagans are 1-0. Cole Reagans doesn't have to be pitching to get the win.
Right.
It's as a duo. So as long as the Royals win, they both get a win.
Yeah.
We could all sit here and have assumptions that maybe this is the last year for Travis Kelce. Let's say the Chiefs, as of right now, are the number one seed. They're going to play three playoff games max, right? So the best they could be is 18-3, which would be great.
Think about that. They're 18-3, right? That's unbelievable.
With four titles and three of them back-to-back-to-back.
Right.
dominant. And Cole Reagans and Bobby Witt Jr., one's 25, one's 26.
Yeah, Reagan's 26. I think Bobby's 25, yeah.
So those two together, Reagan's probably getting a deal this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. It's lining up for that when it comes to contracts and all that sort of thing. They're probably going to be together for a while. So they're going to win some playoff games. You have to remember, this series is the best of three.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is the best of five. Final one is the best of seven.
Right. If you win the World Series and come out of the wild card, you would have won 13 games.
So there is a chance they could make some ground up this week or this month.
Mm-hmm.
Now the poll comes out. 431 votes, 78.2% say Patrick and Travis.
That's crazy to me because I think the way that I'm looking at it right now with this ball club being the way that they are and they're set up with Reagans and Bobby Witt Jr. for the next decade probably, I think they're going to win a lot of postseason games. I think, you know, the good Lord willing, right, in 3 years, Bobby and Cole have passed Travis and Patrick Mahomes when it comes to winning playoff games. And that's just the difference between baseball and football. Obviously, in football, you play three or four postseason games a year, right? In baseball, how many postseason games do you like when Sean McDonough or whoever it was, Vern, said Salvi had 9 playoff losses? I'm like, they lost that many games in 14 and 15, but you lost 4 to the Giants and then, you know, 5 to obviously the next year. So that's how you get 9 so fast in your postseason career, how you get 23 wins as a player in your postseason career. Like Salvador Perez has more playoff wins than Mahomes and Kelce have playoff wins. And people would go, how could you say that? Because those are the numbers. I mean, you just look at it, right? So if you believe in this Royals organization like I do, to me, that's a slam dunk vote to say that the Royals, Bobby and Cole, are going to have more playoff wins than Travis and Patrick. And if you're voting for Travis and Patrick in this one, it tells me maybe you don't have the faith in this Royals organization like I have, because I think we have now seen the blueprint for the way that this organization is going to be run under John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo. 12 to 13 guys from the minor leagues that are going to be on this team, and then you are willing to go out and sign guys that deserve to be signed, like Bobby Witt, and you're willing to go out and spend money on veteran guys to supplement those 12 or 13 guys that you have on your roster that are homegrown talent. So that's why I think this organization has the staying power, because they're going to do what it takes to maintain that staying power.
Because they have homegrown talent?
Let's see your talent.
Michael, let's see your talent from Lenexa. Go ahead, you're on the show.
Hey, I just wanted to say these Royals, man, they're rocking and they just got to keep remembering to play small ball.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see some large ball today.
I wouldn't mind a couple of home runs, give you a little breathing room, right? But that just doesn't happen in the playoffs. It just doesn't. That's not the way baseball postseason works, man. You dominate because of pitching. That's why I'm so bullish on the Royals. I mean, you even heard it from Sean McDonough. He goes, I like their rotation better than I like the Yankees' rotation.
No doubt.
I think other than Philadelphia right now, it's hard to look at another rotation in baseball and say they're rolling out three better starters than what the Royals are running out there. Mm-hmm. This isn't hard to figure out, you know, like, people want to, you know, always use random numbers and trends and all this kind of stuff. To me, it's all about matchups. The Royals match up brilliantly with Baltimore, and they're going to match up brilliantly with the New York Yankees. They're going to dominate that starting pitching position. And if you're still down on the bullpen, stop living in July.
Right. From the 816 yesterday, I watched it at home with the kids and the husband. I work a salaried job, and I got up and started at 5:30 so I can get off in time for the game today. I am so pumped.
Nice.
There you go. You know, I think that's what's great. Yep. Somebody says, yeah, that's what excites me the most. I'm quite comfortable knowing that he's going to continue to bring that talent.
Let's see your talent.
That's right.
From the 913, thanks for making him take caller, Spectre. Real insightful stuff.
It's our job. That's what we do. Fesco and Dusty, you can check it out on YouTube. 2,200 people are tuned in right now. Out of those 2,200 people that are watching or listening, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If we get 100 subscribers a day on this page, our boss buys us lunch. Coming up on the other side, it's your manager and the Royals manager, Matt Cotrero. He joins Fesco and Dusty on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.